This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast presented by Reality Sports Online. My name is Kyle Yates and I am your host, and I'm joined as always by Ray Garvin. Ray, I was thinking about this earlier tonight and I had to just talk to you about it. We warned the people that we were probably going to have some like dad talk on here, right? We were both dads to young kids. I was thinking about this as I was putting my son to bed tonight. I am 100% convinced that story time makes me more tired than it does my son. Do you agree with this? Am I out on a limb here by myself? Like, I am so exhausted when I'm done with story time.
I mean, I am too, especially when you have to read it to your one-year-old like seven times in a row. So yeah, I completely understand. And I know these books like the back of my hand right now, man. It's exhausting.
Oh, 100%. If someone said like, hey, quote this book, I would absolutely be able to do it from memory. 100%.
Yeah. Boom, chicka, boom, boom, and brown bear. I know it all, man. Just A told B, B told C. I'll meet you at the top of the coconut tree. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, we're with Llama Red Pajama. That's the staple in our house. You can find Ray on Twitter at RayGQ, that's Q-U-E, and I can be found on Twitter as well at Kyle YNFL. What is on dock for tonight? Well, we are going to take a look at some news items that broke. There's a little thing that happened earlier on today that we'll get to, and we're going to do a one-round rookie mock draft. We'll take a look at what we think the first round of rookie mocks should look like at this point. Obviously, things will change as we move into draft season, especially after the NFL draft. But then we will also take a look at the listener mailbag. We've got some questions that weren't answered, that we weren't able to get to our first listener mailbag last week. So we're going to double back and hit some of those questions too. All right, let's take a look at the news. And again, I mentioned there was a small little breaking thing that happened. Carson Wentz has been traded to the Indianapolis Colts from the Philadelphia Eagles for a 2021 third round pick, and then a 2022 second round pick that could become a first if he ends up playing 75% or more of the snaps. So, Ray, what we've got here, you put out on Twitter earlier today that you wanted to gather some people's questions. And I love that we did this because we could sit here and we could just ramble on and we could give our takes right on the Carson Wentz, but that might not hit exactly what the people want, what people are going to be asking. So we turned it over. We've got a little mini mailbag here. We've got some questions that I'm going to ask you here, and we'll just kind of rip through these and provide our thoughts here on the Carson Wentz trade. Jeff Mueller asked, which scenario is more likely now for the Philadelphia Eagles? Number one, sign a veteran free agent to compete with Hurts. Number two, draft a rookie quarterback at number six overall. And then number three, trade for a stud quarterback like Deshaun Watson. So let's just answer that part first. Which scenario is the most likely? Do they sign? Because I think everyone is agreed or in agreement that they're not just going to roll in into next season with Nate Sudfeld and Jalen Hurts as their quarterbacks. I don't think they can do that. So I do expect someone to be brought in. So what is the most likely scenario? One, sign a veteran free agent, or number two, draft a rookie quarterback at six, or make a big all out play to go get someone like Deshaun Watson if he becomes available.
Yeah, I think it's exactly in the order that Jeff has it listed. I think it's sign a veteran quarterback to compete with Hurts. Two would be draft a rookie quarterback. And then three is trade for Deshaun Watson. And I really don't think they're in a win. I don't think the team is good enough, even with Deshaun Watson, to make a serious playoff push. So I'm going to go with one, sign a veteran free agent to compete with Hurts.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. I think that you could see someone like a Tyrod Taylor or a Jacoby Brissett, or, you know, following Nick Sirianni over from Indianapolis. Like, those could be potential fits here to be that veteran free agent to come alongside Jalen Hurts. But again, I do think that you're going to see them bring in someone. Now, I don't think that that completely discredits the notion that they could take a quarterback at number six overall. I think that's very much on the table. If they aren't able to bring in someone in free agency that can be a, you know, solid veteran presence to at least push and compete with Hurts, quarterback at number six overall, you're going to be looking at guys like, you know, a Zach Wilson probably could still be there. Trey Lance, I'm like 90% sure Trey Lance will still be there. And then maybe even Justin Fields, it falls to that spot. We've been seeing that in some industry mocks. So I do agree that number one is the signed veteran free agency to, or free agent to compete with Hurts, but that doesn't mean that I don't think number two is still realistic. Jared Pfeiffer, what is Wentz worth in Superflex rookie drafts now? A mid first, early first? Let's answer that one. What is his value right now in terms of a rookie draft pick?
Oh, man. I'd probably say, if anything, for me personally, it would be a late first. It would be a late first. I'm not trading an early first. No way. I'm not trading a mid first. So it would have to be, and I'm saying probably like 111, 112. For me personally, I'm not there with Carson Wentz. I think the landing spot for him in Indianapolis is fantastic. They've got a good running back, a young wide receiver in Pittman, good offensive line. I know they need a left tackle, but I'm not trading the potential of a Trey Lance or Justin Fields or a player like Najee Harris for Carson Wentz, even in Superflex. And that's just me personally. I'm not giving up that kind of draft equity for Carson Wentz.
I'm right there with you. Late first for me, early second in a Superflex league is probably where I'm looking to part with, or what I'm looking to part with for Carson Wentz. Any earlier than that, I do think that you're starting to push, you know, into that category where these guys who are going to be the top four quarterbacks, they're going to be guaranteed a starting position and they're going to be given every opportunity to succeed. With Indianapolis, the investment is not that significant, where if Carson Wentz does struggle, you could see them just move on next year. So I don't think that, you know, with Wentz, this is a situation. I still like him, and it all depends on how desperate I am for a quarterback that then I may push into the mid of the first round. If you absolutely need a quarterback, then go get one. But with Carson Wentz, like you said, I do really like the situation here landing in Indianapolis, but I'm not going to go too crazy. I'm looking at a late first, early second, and then if I am absolutely desperate for a quarterback, I'll move a little bit higher up than that. Brady McClure asks, what should I try to sell Hurts for now in a super flex league? So I put out a poll on Twitter the other day, and this was before the trade, and asking what would it take, or what pick would you be comfortable giving up to go get Jalen Hurts right now, to go trade for Jalen Hurts? And a lot of answers were a 2021 first. The majority said a 2022 second in a super flex format. But again, that was before we knew that Carson Wentz was traded. So I'll pose this to you now, Ray. What is his value right now? And is this actually a time to sell Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I think this is, if you are a rebuilding team, okay? If you are a rebuilding dynasty team, Michael Liu, at Mike Me Up on Twitter, I watched one of his fleets today and he made a really good point. He said, you want to minimize your risk profile. And Jalen Hurts, I don't think either of us right now, Kyle, can say definitively he's going to be the starting quarterback 2 years right from now. I don't even know if we can say he's going to be the starting quarterback for the entire 2021 season. So if I were a rebuilding team, I do believe that the potential, what he can do on the ground with his legs and some of the things that he's shown, you know, with his arm through the air, that you're looking at, he's a first round pick in 2021 easy and probably worth a top 10 pick in 2021. So if I were a rebuilding team, I would definitely be trying to move him. If I were a contending team that was already solidified at quarterback, if I can get that kind of draft capital back, I would do it. But if not, I think you're just banking on hitting a home run with the Konami Code type quarterback with Jalen Hurts.
Well, this is the interesting conversation because it's like, where did he go in rookie drafts last year? He was a mid second, right? In Superflex leagues. I mean, he mid second, late second. This is all about value. And this is playing the value game where you invested a mid second, late second, sometimes even third round pick in Superflex leagues for Jalen Hurts. Now, if you're telling me that you have someone in your league who is, you know, maybe they're an Eagles fan and they're a diehard Eagles fan and they're over the top about Jalen Hurts, and you can get a first round pick plus something for Jalen Hurts, and potentially that first round pick could turn into one of Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson. You know, I don't think it's going to cost, you're not going to get the 101, which would be Trevor Lawrence. But yet, if you can do that, I'm all on board for that. Because even if Jalen Hurts turns out to be a good NFL quarterback and a good fantasy football quarterback, you still gained value within the what you paid for him originally and then what you ended up selling. So, and again, if that can turn into a top tier quarterback, one who I have less questions about, because we have a larger sample size here on Jalen Hurts with his work in college, which coming out of college, I don't know where you stood. I wasn't a huge fan. I thought that there were a lot of things that he still had to work on to be able to become a refined quarterback. In the NFL, in his four starts or whatever he had, he showed flashes, of course, but yet at the same time, it was more of a backyard football style of play rather than a refined NFL quarterback. With a full offseason, I think that NFL coaches are going to be able to look at that film and say, this is how we can shut down Jalen Hurts when we play the Philadelphia Eagles. It's kind of the same thing, and it's a little bit different because you mentioned the Konami code. It's a little bit different with Jalen Hurts because of his rushing ability, but yet everyone went crazy over Drew Locke, right? Drew Locke came on towards the end of his rookie season, played the five games or whatever, went 5-0, like performed really, really well. And he was getting sold for quite a bit in Superflex leagues because people bought in. And yet now you can't pay anyone to take Drew Locke off your roster. So, you know, I'm not saying that that's going to happen with Jalen Hurts, but play the percentages here and say, what is the most likely outcome here? Well, most likely outcome is that he's not going to turn into a Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes at the top of your draft, right? A Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, they could. So I am willing to trade away Jalen Hurts because I paid a little bit for him and now I can turn it into a lot. Does that make sense?
I think that's a good strategy. I think that's a sound reason, sound rationale. I just want to remind people, he started four games. He did not take any reps with the starters the entire season. There was no plan to play Jalen Hurts. So while I just think that four game sample size for a player who had no offseason, no reps with the starters until the final month of the NFL season, to just slam the book shut on a player who every year of his college career progressed and got better in the passing department. Nobody was mistaking Jalen Hurts for Drew Brees when he came out of college. He is who we thought he was. But to just my whole thing is, if we're going to sit here and just assume or shut the book on him improving and getting better with an offense that will, if he's the guy, be catered around him, there is, if you move him, you have to be prepared for maybe not becoming Lamar Jackson, but pretty doggone close to that type of production from a fantasy quarterback skill set point.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And my discussion here or argument with Jalen Hurts is not because I don't think that he could be, like, he's my QB 13 in dynasty leagues right now. In my rankings, he's my QB 13. Like, I still think that he can be relevant, especially because of his rushing ability. But yet, this is, let's pump the brakes here a little bit. People are already saying, like, he's a top five quarterback for 2021, top six, top seven. Like, in that conversation, I'm saying, let's pump the brakes here a little bit. There's not even a guarantee that he's even the starting quarterback. You mentioned it, not only in 2022, but in 2021. So let's pump the brakes here a little bit. Let's see what they do. Do they cater the offense around him? Because Nick Sirianni, the last we've seen, he was working with Philip Rivers. So, and you can't get more opposite of Philip Rivers than Jalen Hurts. So let's just wait and see. Let's pump the brakes here a little bit. But let's take another look at the situation here. Nick Lewis asks, bigger breakout chance, Jalen Reagor, Michael Pittman, Paris Campbell, and then he includes J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So I think we can both sit here and say it's probably not going to be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So bigger breakout chance, Reagor, your boy, Pittman, or Campbell?
Well, considering that I feel like Pittman sort of already arrived at the table, I think he's got the best chance to be the biggest fantasy producer out of all of these guys. I mean, we saw what he could do in limited opportunity last year, but looked really, really good with Phillip Rivers. When you're talking about breakout, I'm thinking a player who did absolutely nothing that could actually produce this year. So that would be Rager, although I think Pittman has the higher upside with Carson Wentz in that offense as the presumed number one, especially if they let T.Y. Hilton walk.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Pittman. Anyone who has followed the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast the last season knows that I'm a big fan of Pittman. So I am going to he'll be my answer here. Even though, yes, he did arrive on the scene a little bit last year, I think that he's just getting started. With Wentz now landing with Frank Reich, who was the key to his success previously in Philadelphia as the offensive coordinator, I think that we're going to see a rejuvenated, you got a better offensive line, outstanding offensive line, and then a great run game to take the pressure off. I think that we're going to see a little bit of a different Carson Wentz here. So I like Michael Pittman heading into next season. And then finally, FF Good Boy, what happens to Miles Sanders' value with Hurts as the full-time starter in 2021? Now, typically a running quarterback, a mobile quarterback, can open things up for the running backs and the running lanes, right? But yet when you do have Hurts, who ran the ball, 14 times in one game? Like, he was taking a ton of rushing attempts here. So just initial reaction here, Miles Sanders with Jalen Hurts as the presumed starter. Let's operate under that assumption.
Yeah.
What does it do for Miles Sanders?
I think it's relatively the same, to be honest with you, because even with Carson Wentz, he couldn't hit him out of the backfield on a flare route to save his life. So I think it's about the same, to be honest with you. I think the bigger thing is Philadelphia going to upgrade their offensive line? That's going to be the biggest boost to Miles Sanders' value. Maybe it takes a little bit of a hit because Hurts, you know, takes some of those carries away, but Sanders wasn't being fed 25, 30 carries a game in the first place. So I just think it's around the same, to be honest.
That's right where I'm at too. I think this is just kind of, it really didn't move the needle for me one way or another. When I went in and did my dynasty rankings update earlier today, I moved Pittman, I moved Rager a little bit, Goddard just a couple of spots, and then of course the quarterbacks, but yet I didn't touch Jonathan Taylor or Miles Sanders because I think it just kind of is, it's kind of the same thing for each of those guys. All right, let's look at some other news items here. Breshad Perriman, the wide receiver for the New York Jets, is not expected to be re-signed this offseason, which again, if we talked about on the last podcast that Jameson Crowder could be a cap casualty, it looks like it's just going to be Denzel Mims next year. So expect some sort of high price free agent signing or heavy investment in a wide receiver at the top of the draft. Ben Roethlisberger wants to play next season. However, the Steelers are looking at the situation and they're evaluating it. So this is interesting. With Ben, very, very hefty contract next season. I think it's over $40 million as far as a cap hit. So based on his play last year, the Steelers are seriously having a conversation and saying, are we willing to pay Ben $40 million for the type of play that we got from him towards the end of last season? Or is he done? So let me just pose this to you in this. Let's play a wild game here. Let's say Ben Roethlisberger doesn't come back to the Steelers next season and it's Mason Rudolph as the starting quarterback. What does that do for Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool?
It destroys their value, I believe. If Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback, however, not only is it a hefty cap hit, he's a hefty looking player at this stage of his career as well. So if they move on from Ben, I do believe that at 24, they will draft a quarterback, which then we're having a different conversation. But for the sake of this question, if it's Mason Rudolph, I don't think it's going to bode well for anybody in that offense. It might be ugly.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Of course, we can't rule out that they would sign a free agent quarterback or maybe bring in a Jameis Winston, right? They court him away from New Orleans or something like that. But as of right now, it's a serious question as to whether or not Ben Roethlisberger will be back. You're kind of just holding your Steelers in Dynasty right now, your Deontay Johnson, your Chase Claypools, Eric Ebron. So you're just hoping, you know, and praying that Ben Roethlisberger does come back next season. Additionally, Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis could both end up leaving Tennessee in free agency. Let me just pose this to you. Ideal landing spots for both of these guys. I've got mine for Jonnu. And that, and I'll just mention it really quick. That's New York Jets. The New York Jets have a ton of money in free agency. They need a tight end upgrade over Chris Herndon, who has done nothing up to this point of his career. He's flashed. He's a darling of fantasy football Twitter, but yet has done nothing. So, and then you do have Mike LaFleur coming over as the offensive coordinator from San Francisco and bringing in that Shanahan scheme. What's preventing them from making Jonnu Smith the George Kittle of that offense? Rack ability, right? Athletic, can get out and move, can block. I think that you could absolutely see Jonnu Smith become a dominant fantasy force if he does end up in New York.
Well, I like that a lot. I really like that. They need a tight end. It didn't work out for Christopher Herndon, even though I'm still a closet truther of Chris Herndon. But if Jonnu Smith lands in New York or East Rutherford, New Jersey, or wherever the heck the Jets play at, I think that's going to be good for Jonnu Smith. Let him finally get an opportunity, kind of be the guy, break out. We've seen it a little bit in Tennessee. But Corey Davis, for me, I'm going to stick with New York. And I think the Giants would be a nice landing spot for a player like Corey Davis. I'm not closing the door yet on Daniel Jones. I'm not the biggest fan, but I do believe he's going to be the starter for this 2021 season. I like Darius Slayton, but Darius Slayton is not a number one wide receiver. I think he's better served as a number two, number three. So you throw Corey Davis out there with Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, and Darius Slayton. Get Saquon Barkley back. I do think that's a better offense than it was, and Corey Davis could have a chance to finally live up to that top five draft capital.
Absolutely. Chris Carson is unlikely to be re-signed by the Seahawks this offseason. So what does this do for Rashad Penny? Remember this guy? Rashad Penny, what do we do from a dynasty perspective? If you've been holding on to Penny, do you think that he is now the main guy heading into next season?
Sure, but I mean, it's just, he's one of those players that, you know what, to me, doesn't move the needle. He's a complimentary piece to your dynasty roster. I don't think we're ever going to get like a top 12, you know, top 20 running back out of him. So therefore, for me, he's just a guy, man. And we haven't seen him do it. We have yet to see him be the guy in a backfield to command significant work. He's had flashes, but coming off of that injury, Seattle, they just seem like they have issues left and right with Pete Carroll in that offense. So even if he is quote unquote the guy, I'm not going to trust Pete to give him all the work. And I'm not going to rule out the Seattle Seahawks from taking a running back in the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think with Penny, if I've got him, I'm holding on to him. He's a fine depth piece, but I'm also not looking to sell high. You know, you can't sell high, and I don't think that I'm looking to buy low on him either. So just willing to hold him if I've got him. I think that he can turn into something, but I also wouldn't put it past Seattle to bring in a Mark Ingram, James Conner, someone else, right, in free agency, a cheap signing to at least be that, you know, 50-50 timeshare that they've looked to do in the past.
Before we keep moving with today's episode, I want to take a second to tell you about Reality Sports Online. By now, most of you have probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options. Do you get the gist? There's so much here for you. Think it sounds complicated, though? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager's skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com.
All right, let's move on to a one-round rookie mock draft. We've got one quarterback, one tight end, half PPR, just your typical league here. We'll do some super flex formats. We'll do some other fun formats here in rookie mock drafts as we move throughout draft season. But right now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, this is going to be what we would do, right? So these are going to be leaning into our rankings. Obviously, as you sit in your rookie mock draft or your rookie draft in your league, team needs are going to change, right? They're going to change this order. You're going to have people reach for players and all this stuff. But as of right now, we wanted to sit down and at least in a fun way, introduce you to some of these prospects and at least give our little thoughts on them as we go throughout. So the 101 here in a one quarterback, one tight end format, Ray, who are you taking?
Kyle, I just want to thank you for being so gracious to me. I know I'm the new guy here, so you let me have the 101. and I'm very happy because this selection for me is extremely easy. He's the best running back in this draft class. He, for me right now, is a top 10 dynasty running back. I think he is just a blend of Steven Jackson and Matt Forte. Incoming 2.0, give me Najee Harris, the 6'2", 230-pound All-American back out of Alabama. Can do it all between the tackles, on the outside, catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a three-down threat. For me, this is easy money at the 101. Give me the stud running back, Najee Harris.
Yeah, I think that you've got to take Harris if you're sitting at the 101. You're going to have fans that, you know, people that really like Travis Etienne. You're going to have people that really like Javonte Williams. We'll, of course, select these guys within the first round. But at the 101, based on everything that Harris has done, and now I've gone back like 3 years of watching this guy, right, because I've watched his 2018 tape, 2019, 2020. The improvement that he has made in his ability to embrace contact, right? In 2018, I was watching his tape and I was like, dude, you are 220 pounds. Lower your shoulder and drive through this safety that you met at the second level, right? And he was looking to sidestep him. He was looking at now fully willing to embrace that contact, lower his shoulder, utilize his size and power. And again, you mentioned it, excellent hands out of the backfield as a receiver. I think that he can be a 250 touch guy a season right out of the gate, depending on what offense he lands in. So yeah, Najee Harris at the 101, that's a no-brainer pick. All right, I am up.
Yeah, you're up, Kyle. You got the 102 spot. You got the 102. Where are you going? We got to know. Where are you going?
Yeah, 102 here, looking at the running backs, Travis Etienne, because I do place a little bit higher of a importance on the running back position, but yet it's going to be really hard, man, to let Jamar Chase fall past the 102. So Chase is my wide receiver one in this class. It's been a while since we've seen him on the field, but yet extremely talented, excellent at the catch point, great mover out in space, excellent release off the line of scrimmage, is able to fight off contact at the line of scrimmage too. They just a well-rounded player and one who I think is going to have an immediate impact at the NFL level. So Jamar Chase here at the 102, it's rich for a wide receiver, but when we're looking at a running back class that I'm not super in love with, I will definitely take the talent here and I'll go Jamar Chase at the 102.
Hey, did you see that guy, Justin Jefferson, break Randy Moss's rookie receiving record this past season? I think you saw him,
did.
Right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you know Jamar Chase outproduced him at 19 years old last year in 2019, right? Like,
crazy, man.
Jamar Chase, I don't want to call anybody a sure thing, a bad, a lock. There are none of those in football. But at the wide receiver position, what he can do with the ball in the air after the catch is physicality, playmaking ability, and he's just got that cocky confidence. You have to have that at the wide receiver position. So I think that was a really good choice. I'm glad you did not go Travis Etienne because I was going to gobble up one of these wide receivers if you passed on him. But you left my wide receiver one for me, and I will take him right here at the 103, Kyle, and that is the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, the Slim Reaper himself, Devontae Smith from Alabama. Listen, you could talk about all of the concerns, right? Oh, he's 170, 175 pounds. He broke every single record that Jamar Chase set in 2019. Devonta Smith shattered that in one fewer game here in the 2020 season. He did that without Jalen Waddle for majority of the season, without Tua, without Henry Ruggs, without Jerry Jeudy, and he played in all SEC schedules. So when you're talking about a player who produced as a junior, outproduced Henry Ruggs as a junior, outproduced Jerry Jeudy as a junior, I think he's one of the savviest players in this draft class at the wide receiver position. Speed for days. He's a technician on the outside. And his wingspan, you talked about it. Weren't you the one who said his wingspan is longer than Antonio Gandy-Golden and Colin Johnson? The catch radius is ridiculous, and he offers special teams ability as a punt returner. I will happily take Devontae Smith here at the 103.
Stupid production. I mean, just what he is able to do on the football field defies logic, right? And you hear the comp all the time, and I really like it, Marvin Harrison, right? That is the comp for Devontae Smith. And from his ability as a route runner to win, to be able to separate his speed, long speed too, he's able to take a pass and be able to take it all the way down the field. I mean, he's got the entire package, but it all is going to come down to how does an NFL team value him as far as his size? Do they believe that he can withstand the NFL, you know, size? But he did it in the SEC and he's been doing it. So I have no issue with you taking him here at the 103. But we left some of these running backs fall. We let some of these running backs fall. Excuse me. I'm going to let take my RB2 here at the 104. I am going to take Travis Etienne and let and get another running back off the board here. So with Travis Etienne, speedster, right? That's been how he has made his mark. In 2019, I comped him to a like souped up version of Matt Breida as far as very long strides, someone who can pick up speed. If you give him an inch of daylight, he is going to absolutely just take it to the house. So, but this past season, I saw a drastic improvement in his receiving ability. He was utilized heavily out of the backfield as a receiver from Trevor Lawrence. So when you are talking about Travis Etienne, we kind of have this idea of, okay, well, is he going to be a true workhorse back or whatever? I don't know if he's ever going to see more than 175 carries on a season, but yet he does have the skill set where he can have, and I'm not comping him to it, but can have a Alvin Kamara type effect on an offense where excellent as a receiver, heavily targeted out of the backfield, does handle the workload as far as handling some carries game in and game out. But yet, I think that Travis Etienne, based on his skill set, should absolutely be in consideration here as a top five pick.
Yeah, and I think at the 104, I don't think that's a bad choice, right? He's clearly, for me, a player that's after Najee Harris, and I would take Ja'Marr Chase, and I would take Devonta Smith over him. But like you said, and when you made that comp call to Matt Breida, I think that was like a year and a half, 2 years ago, Yates, I was like, that's it. Like, that's it. And a lot of people hear that, and they get upset, but here's the thing, folks. We can't comp everybody to all pro running backs. That's not how this works, right? And I'll tell you this about Etienne. I have not seen a player with 0 to 60 type acceleration that Etienne possesses since like a Chris Johnson. His acceleration is crazy. But you let my RB2 fall to me, and my comp for him is Thor's hammer. Because that's how this player plays. He just comped to an object, the hammer of Thor, and that's UNC's Javonte Williams. I love his game. He's sort of a throwback NFL running back with a splash of new age ability because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And he did share a backfield with another talented running back who may come off the board here in this draft. But I just like the way that he can force miss tackles, man. He's a physical downhill runner. He's got more speed than people think. At 5'11", 220 pounds, his physicality, he's got good footwork and vision, and again, can catch the ball out of the backfield, was not heavily utilized in college, so he still should have a lot of tread left on that tire. So here at the 105 spot to get my RB2 in my personal rankings, Javonte Williams, I'm ecstatic of how this draft is playing out right now.
Yeah, the difference in my rankings between Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams is very, very slim, right? There's a gap between Najee Harris and then these two. I'm fine going either one of these guys. Javonte Williams, bowling ball is how I've described him previously, right? Excellent contact balance. You watch this guy play and you're just like, you have to sit there and wonder, how does he break this many tackles? Like, how is it humanly possible? And for him to, I think he's going to step into an NFL offense and immediately handle a heavy and significant workload. So he's got the talent. I don't think that with both of these guys, and this was something I was going to ask you, with both of these guys, I wouldn't put them in the conversation of, you know, where we put Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins last year, if you wanted to put CEH in that conversation too. I would still have these guys below them, but yeah, it's not a far gap. I think that they are very, very talented running backs in their own right and can absolutely make an impact for dynasty purposes when we find out what their landing spot is.
Kyle, you hit the nail on the head. I think Dobbins, Swift, Taylor, and for me personally, I mean, we had CEH in there as well. If we're being objective and thinking back to that time frame, I would have all of those guys from 2020 ahead of Williams and Etienne. But that's no slight to those two players because they are very talented. But here at the middle, I think things are going to get interesting, Kyle. And you've got the 106, so I'm really, really interested to see where you go here.
Yeah, this is where the consensus is going to kind of waver, but I'm not going to make it spicy just yet. I'm going to stay and take my wide receiver too. It's actually funny. My grading system spit out both of these guys with the exact same grade, which is Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. Wide receivers at Alabama. I'm going to take Waddle here at the 106. If I can get Waddle here at the 106, one of these guys who it's a play against Missouri that I was watching back just recently when Alabama played Missouri. Waddle takes it's an out route or something like that. He takes it towards the sideline. And he just operates at a different speed. It's like watching the Flash, man. Like, legitimately, like, out on the field, his ability, he just moves at a different speed than everyone else on the field. So, not only is he just a, like, speed threat, but he is a well-rounded receiver in his own right and still has, and still shows signs that he has room to grow. So, yeah. Jalen Waddle, absolutely here at the 106. I think that he's going to go. I actually wouldn't be shocked at all in the NFL draft if he went above Devontae Smith. I don't know if I can see him going above Jamar Chase, but Jalen Waddle, there are very few concerns with him. I'm happy to get him here at the 106.
Well, the first snipe has just occurred because I had him teed up and ready to go, and you nailed it once again. I mean, his play speed is one thing, the athleticism, and then the beginning of this 2020 season. Listen, had Waddle not been injured versus Tennessee, and this is no slight to Devontae Smith, I don't think Smith would have won the Heisman. I don't think Waddle would have won the Heisman either, but he would have put up ridiculous numbers as well. Probably would have been Mac Jones. But, I mean, Waddle's tear to 2020 is phenomenal, and I'm with you. You know, if he weren't dealing with an injury, he was pushing wide receiver one status for me in this class. He's that talented. So, love that pick right there at the 106 spot. Right here, 107, I'm going to stay true to my board, and I'm going to I guess this may be a little spicy for some, but a player that I've been in love with for the past 2 years, Rondale Moore out of Purdue, just a dynamic, undersized playmaker. I completely understand that he does not fit the mold of a prototypical X wide receiver, but we talked about the explosiveness that Jalen Waddle has. Rondale Moore has that as well. His freshman season at Ohio State was historic, completely historic. He won the Paul Hornung Award as the nation's most versatile player. He joined the likes of Christian McCaffrey, Odell Beckham Jr., Saquon Barkley, Jabril Preppers. I mean, he's that talented of a player. Has not played a complete season since 2018, so there is a little bit of concern there. He's got the size issues, but when you're talking about just freak athlete, and I don't think there's any more dynamic player with the ball in their hands than Rondale Moore, what he can do at the slot wide receiver position, as well as taking handoffs out of the backfield. Just a talented player that I'd love to have here at the 107.
Yeah, I love Moore's film. You do have the concerns and questions of the injury history. How much does that affect where he's going to go in the NFL draft? Could be a draft capital conversation. But as far as a talent, he's up there with the rest of these wide receivers. Rondale Moore here at the 107. I am not going to have any issue with that. I'm going to go here with a player that I honestly thought you were going to take a little bit earlier. Now, from a value perspective, this might not line up with a lot of people's boards, but Kyle Pitts here is going to go off the board at the 108. And Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida. One of the most ridiculous prospects that I've watched. Absurd what he is able to do on the football field. What is he, 6'5", 240, 245 pounds, and moves like he's 200 pounds. Like, the way he is able to line up in line and get out and move is in space. It's just ridiculous. Incredible hands, incredible contested catchability, able to be a force in the red zone. If you're looking for a player, let me phrase it this way. If you've looked at other dynasty rosters that have a Darren Waller or a Travis Kelce, and you've like looked at their roster and coveted what they have, then you take Kyle Pitts because he's going to have that same type of impact. I know you've done a lot. You're a huge fan of Pitts. I know you've done a lot of more in-depth scouting on him than even I have. So Kyle Pitts here at the 108, from a value perspective, does this make sense?
Yeah, because you're getting I do not want people to take this the wrong way. Please don't take it the wrong way. He's like a Calvin Johnson-esque prospect at tight end. I mean, that's what he's able to do. I think he's a blend of Darren Waller and, you know, throw Kelce Kill. I mean, he's that talented of a prospect. And again, the sniper was out, got me again, because I thought I could gamble on Rondale. And let me just tell you, Kyle, if we could rewind a few minutes, I would have taken Pitts instead of Moore, because I just thought I was going to be able to get him, but I love it. You go look across the championship teams and leagues, and I guarantee you they either had Waller or Kelce on them. So to get this type of prospect, he's a wide receiver playing tight end position.
To run through the board really quick, so Najee Harris went at the 101, Ja'Marr Chase at the 102, Devontae Smith at the 103, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, Jalen Waddle, Rondale Moore, Kyle Pitts. Ray, who are you taking here at the 109? Just a few picks left in this round one rookie mock draft.
All right, so I'm playing poker with you right now, and I'm going to bet that you don't take the guy that I want to take here. I think I can get him at the 111 spot, so I'm going to go with my wide receiver four in the class, and that's Minnesota Gopher Rashad Bateman. I think he's probably just the most pro-ready wide receiver, in my opinion. He does everything exceptionally well without being a Jalen Waddle-level speedster, without, you know, putting up the ridiculous Ja'Marr Chase numbers or Devontae Smith numbers. But Rashad Bateman, I think he's a player that's not being talked about enough. And, you know, you talked about you wouldn't be shocked if Jalen Waddle got picked ahead of Devontae Smith. It wouldn't shock me if Rashad Bateman was picked ahead of those guys. So yeah. I just think he's a talented, pro-ready wide receiver. And he produced on a team with Tyler Johnson as a true freshman. So there's not a lot to be concerned about Rashad Bateman.
I completely agree. Obviously, you heard me in my frustration with you taking Rashad Bateman there. I'm a huge fan. Bateman has graded out extremely high in my grading system here. So Bateman is someone who I'm a big fan of. You mentioned it. He doesn't have like one of that elite trait that we can point to and say like this is how he's going to win in the NFL. But yet one of the most well-rounded prospects at the wide receiver position. Didn't have a crazy productive 2020 season. There was he opted out originally and then opted back in and then opted out again, if I'm remembering correctly. So
yep.
There's some questions here with Bateman. A lot of, as I scan Twitter, a lot of fantasy football Twitter is kind of down on him, and that's fine with me. I will gladly take Rashad Bateman at this discount to get a talented player like him at the 109. I think is great value. Am I going to do it? Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to throw my first curveball here. And I'm going to get spicy, okay? So my top four wide receivers are all off the board. We, in order, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle for me, and then Devontae Smith, and then Rashad Bateman at number four. I'm going to take my number five wide receiver in this class. He's currently going in the third round of rookie ADP that I've seen, and that's Dwayne Eskridge, wide receiver out of Western Michigan. Eskridge, from his ability, incredible speed, probably going to run 4.3 at his pro day. Incredibly twitchy at the line of scrimmage. His release at the line of scrimmage is something to behold. He does have some concerns with drops. It's not always the most consistent as far as his receiving ability, but yet able to take any pass, run after the catch ability, and be able to turn it into a big gain, explosive plays waiting to happen. Dwayne Eskridge is going to step into an NFL offense and immediately produce. I don't like him as a number one, like you said, with a Darius Slayton, right? That's not what I think that he's going to be. But yeah, as a number two wide receiver in an offense, I think he's going to step onto the field and immediately produce. So this is not something that you're going to see typically. You're not going to see Dwayne Eskridge going in round one. However, I think that he should.
You shocked me here. I figured you were going to go a little off script, but I didn't know you were going to go Eskridge. But listen, he's a fast riser. A lot of people didn't know the name. He goes to the Senior Bowl, tears it up, and you start looking at some of the numbers that he produced. You're right. He's going to run fast, and there is buzz about him being a first round pick. And I'm going to tell you right now, at this 111 spot, Yates, If this were a real rookie draft, if you're picking 110, 111, 112, you probably have a really, really good team, right? If 111, you were in the championship, you just barely lost. Right. So I'm making this pick based on pure upside, right? Yes, I could take Terrace Marshall or I could take a Ja'Marr Jefferson, but those are good, solid, safe picks, right? I like those players. But I think a player that is not being talked about enough, he was a top five wide receiver for me coming into the 2020 season. That is factual. I had him top five coming into the season. The team stunk. He didn't play the whole year. It was a COVID-filled season. But I think the talent of this 6'4", 220-pound wide receiver that can run a 4.3 40-yard dash, clocked at 23 miles an hour, I'm taking Tamarion Terry here at the 111 spot, okay? I understand there are some off-field attitudinal problems, some concerns, But if Tamarion Terry hits, and I think he's probably going to be a second round pick in rookie drafts when it's all said and done, but if he hits, would you be shocked if 2 years from now, Yates, we're sitting here talking, saying that he's a better wide receiver than Moore, he's better than Devontae Smith. Like, would you be shocked if I told you 2 years from now, Tamarion Terry was one of the best wide receivers from this 2021 class?
I would not be shocked at all. I actually legitimately finished watching his tape earlier today and it graded him out, and I was shocked at where he ended up. He ended up as a first round grade for me. So Tamarion Terry, from a talent perspective, absolutely in complete agreement with you here as far as where he should go and what he can do for an NFL offense. Now, you mentioned it there, the off-field question marks with him leaving FSU, or that's just a whole situation, right? There's been very little buzz about him as far as, is he even in this NFL draft? I had to ask that question. I was like, is he even in this draft class? And it turns out he did declare. So you're right here for selecting him. But from a talent perspective, absolutely. Now it's just going to be a matter of, does he even get drafted? That's a conversation. That's a question right now. If he doesn't get drafted, guess what? He's not going anywhere near the first round of rookie mock drafts. But yet, at the same time, from a talent perspective and where we're sitting here in February, absolutely. I think that he does belong in this conversation. Now, I have a tough decision here with the last pick, and I'm trying to figure out if I want to go wide receiver here or if I want to go running back. I've got my eyes on two guys here. I am going to go... Yeah, I'm going to go running back. I'll go Michael Carter. Javonte Williams' teammate at UNC. And from a talent perspective and what he can bring to the table for an NFL offense, think of Nyheim Hines. Nyheim Hines and his ability as a receiver out of the backfield. Now, people are going to hear that name and they're going to say, like, oh, I don't want Nyheim Hines on my dynasty roster. But yet, Michael Carter is not going to be a guy. And that really, there aren't any top tier talent guys in this draft class now at the running back position that we can sit here and say they're going to step into 200 plus 250 carries, right? The guys that you're looking at, Kenneth Gainwell, a Michael Carter, Jamar Jefferson, even, like, those are going to be the guys who are change of pace backs, complementary pieces out of the backfield. But Michael Carter, what he brings to an NFL offense, you're talking about burst. You talked about the 0-60 acceleration that Travis Etienne possesses. Michael Carter is not far behind him, man. His burst and ability to accelerate between the tackles, excellent vision, was used as an outside zone runner frequently. So the lanes are there, but yet I still see it within the tackles, within the tackle box, his ability to see the field, be able to get open. And he is an angle buster out in the open field, his ability to freeze a safety or incoming defender and then accelerate around them is just outstanding. Excellent pass catcher out of the backfield too. So he's going to be an explosive play waiting to happen at the NFL level. And I think that he absolutely does belong in the conversation here at the back end of the first round. So to run through the draft again, that was Najee Harris at the 101, Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, Jalen Waddle, Rondale Moore, Kyle Pitts, Rashad Bateman, Dwayne Eskridge, Tamarion Terry, and Michael Carter. We got a little spicy there at the end, right?
Yeah, we did, but honestly, like it's not just doing it for the sake of. I mean, at some point, you have to make the decision based on your dynasty team. Do you want to go safe? Because I think Jamar Jefferson's a safe pick. I don't think he's a superstar, no matter how the things turn out. I think a player like Tamarion Terry could be a superstar type talent. So, I mean, yeah, a little spicy, but there's some sound reasoning behind some of those picks towards the end.
For sure. All right, let's move on to a listener mailbag here. Let's close this up. These are taking questions that, as I mentioned before, that we didn't get to the first time that we did a listener mailbag here. So wanted to double back and at least get to, because again, we talked about it. We had over like 100 questions. And so we wanted to double back and try to answer some of these. So at @FF_Rebel, how many starting quarterbacks do you personally need to walk away with at a startup super flex league to be comfortable? And then signs it sincerely, the guy who holds QBs hostage in a super flex league. So how many starting quarterbacks do you personally need to walk away with at a startup draft?
In my opinion, 3 to 4. I think 3 starting quarterbacks and maybe a 4th upside play. Like last year would have been perfect to have 3 quarterbacks and then Jalen Hurts as your 4th as an upside play. I think anything less than 3, you're playing with fire in a major way.
That is exactly what I was going to say. 3 starting quarterbacks and then a 4th one that I feel like if the situation breaks their way, that they can get some significant playing time, right? So, I'll go a little bit more in depth too, and I'll say I'm looking to walk away in a super flex league with two quarterbacks in my first four rounds. If I'm not going to pass on value if one of the top tier running backs falls to me in the first round or anything like that, but yet I want two of the top tier guys, and I'll take the shot there. And then later on, I'll double back in the 9th, 10th round, and I'll take a Derek Carr. I'll take a, you know, Matthew Stafford or whatever in a startup draft where that can be my third quarterback, where if I'm in a pinch, bye weeks, whatever, I can plug them in. I definitely want to have three, though. Like you said, any less than that, you're definitely playing with fire. Jay Flesher asked, Mac Jones or Matt Ryan in a super flex league?
It's easy, Mac Jones. Easy. Mac Jones, he's younger. It's going to be a first round pick, which gives him at least 4 years as the starting quarterback. I don't even know if Matt Ryan, how much longer he's going to be with Atlanta, how much longer he's going to be in the NFL. So especially in a startup, no doubt I'm taking Mac Jones. If I'm win now, I'm taking Mac Jones no matter how you slice it for me personally.
For me personally, I'm going to go the other side. I'm going to take Matt Ryan. Like you mentioned, he's towards the end of his career. Absolutely. We have no idea how much longer he's going to be playing. But yet I still think that in my window, right, where we're playing in Dynasty of 2 to 3 years, I still think that Matt Ryan is going to be fantasy relevant. And he's someone that I know, right? I know what Matt Ryan is going to bring to the table. Mac Jones, I do have the questions of, okay, how's he going to succeed? Is he going to be surrounded with the best supporting cast that he can? There are just going to be those questions. If we find out his landing spot, and you know, then talk to me then. I might have a different opinion. But as of right now, I have a little bit more questions with Mac Jones. I will take Matt Ryan in that situation. CG Beck 5, as someone going into his first rookie draft with the 104 and the 110 picks, what's the best approach to upgrading the running back position? The cost to move up in the draft, it's a 1QB full PPR. So for me, I will say at this, and it's perfect that we're answering this question after doing the rookie mock draft, because you're going to see that you can get a Travis Etienne, you can get a Javonte Williams there at the 104, but yet after that, it dries up pretty quick. So if you are in need of a running back, you're probably going to have to move up in the draft. But I will say this as another side. Hold on to that pick and do not be afraid to sell that 104 for a proven running back. As we get closer, we've talked about it previously, right? As we get closer to your rookie drafts, those picks are only going to increase in value. And you might have someone who says, I'm the biggest Travis Etienne fan in the world and I want him on my team. Or Javonte Williams or whatever. I'll trade you Joe Mixon for the 104. Yep. I'll trade you one of these other, you know, Miles Sanders, whatever. At that point, you hit accept because you have the proven asset. You know what they're going to be. And they're more talent. Obviously, it's going to depend on who exactly you get offered. But I'm just saying, you're going to see some running backs be offered your way with that 104 if you dangle that out there, that are going to be better long-term options, in my opinion, than a Travis Etienne or Javonte Williams without knowing their landing spot right now.
Great advice. If you're not getting Najee Harris in this draft, when the 104 rolls around, I would be shopping it for Joe Mixon, maybe a Miles Sanders. There may be some other running backs. You know, if somebody is afraid of Jared Goff in Detroit and wants to get rid of DeAndre Swift to upgrade to whomever that 104 pick is, because there's a chance it could be a Jamar Chase, it could be a Kyle Pitts. So I think that was if it's Najee Harris, you take Najee. If not, don't be afraid to shop the 104. And also, don't reach at 110. If the best player on the board is Kyle Pitts staring you in the face or Rashad Bateman, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, I need a running back, I'm just going to take Kenneth Gainwell, I'm just going to take, you know, Jamar Jefferson, I would really be trying to trade that 110 pick and move back.
Completely agree. At BFTG Pod, this isn't really about rookie players. What's the best thing to do to improve your team if you're a middle of the pack dynasty team? Do you agree in blowing it up, or do you keep trying to get better? I'll throw this to you first and then I'll answer.
Yeah, the worst place to be in Dynasty is in the middle. You want to either be a competing team or you want to be real bad so you can get high draft picks. So it really depends on your league, your league mates. If you really think that you can maneuver enough to get better, then you do that, right? And if you don't feel like, not all leagues are super active and you can't really do a lot, so maybe your best bet. I've done that. And it's fun. Like the joy of Dynasty is having fun. I've got some teams where I've traded everybody. Davante Adams, bye. AJ Brown, bye. Like, we'll get into this later because there's strategy and there's method behind the madness of why in a rebuilding team you don't want to hold on to Davante Adams. But ultimately, the worst place to be in Dynasty is in the middle. So if you think you have a shot to compete, go ahead and go for it. And if not, you need to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Completely agree. I wish that we had like disagreed more to at least provide some like better content, but no, like we're going to agree a lot here because I think this is a sound strategy. You mentioned it, the worst place to be is in the middle in a dynasty league. I'm in complete agreement there because, and I answered it this way, like only you can assess, or I answered it this question, a similar question recently in an article that I wrote. This, only you can assess your league and your roster and determine whether or not you have a legitimate chance to compete for a championship, right? If there is a team that has just made some incredible moves, they've drafted really, really well throughout the years, they've got a stacked roster, and you know that you get into the playoffs, you are most likely going to get smacked by them. At that point, you sell, you rebuild, because at that point, you know that you do not have a legitimate shot. If you assess your league and you say, okay, this team's pretty strong, but yet they're like one starting running back away from being irrelevant, right? If their starting running back goes down, then at that point, I think I can beat them in the playoffs or whatever. At that point, then you make some moves. You sell away some future picks or whatever to be able to position yourself to compete, right? So that compete until you know that you can is kind of the motto here, right? So again, but you mentioned it, the worst place to be in a dynasty league is in the middle. JViv26, can you and Ray talk about the gap and differences in Kyle Pitts and Brevin Jordan? Kyle Pitts, obviously we talked about him, tight end out of Florida, and then Brevin Jordan, tight end out of Miami.
Yeah, so for me, I think both tight ends are very, very high for me. Brevin Jordan's a top three tight end in the class, and I mean, he's pushing tight end two status for me. I think he's a fantastic tight end prospect. But Brevin Jordan, make no mistake about it, he is a tight end. Kyle Pitts has tight end designation, but he moves, he plays like a wide receiver. I think there's a pretty big gap between the two. Comma, however, I still think Brevin Jordan is still I believe he's a top 12 dynasty tight end in the making. I believe Kyle Pitts is an elite tight end. And when you ask this question, I want you to ask yourself, how big of a difference is Travis Kelce, George Kittle, and Darren Waller compared to a Robert Tonyan, who was also a top 12 tight end, you know, or a Jonnu Smith? Right. There's a big difference. So although Jordan is talented, Pitts has elite ceiling capability. And I don't think that's Brevin Jordan.
I agree. And for me, actually, there's another player in between these two. I don't know where you land on Pat Freiermuth, but the tight end out of Penn State, but I'm a big fan. He moves extremely well for someone who is 260 pounds, can be an inline blocker, but then a steady chain mover at the next level. So with the difference here of Kyle Pitts and Brevin Jordan, there's actually a pretty big gap because Pitts I have as like my top two or my number two overall player in this class as far as grading. But then Brevin Jordan, still very talented, really like him, but he's my tight end three. I've got Freiermuth in between the two of them. Mr. _ EB, who is this year's rookie wide receiver that people will regret letting fall to the mid-second or third round of their rookie drafts, a la Terry McLaurin, Chase Claypool, and Brandon Ayuk the past couple of years? I had two names come to mind, but I'll let you answer.
Okay, well, I think one of them, just came out of this exercise we did. I think Tamarion Terry, the most realistic possibility is he's probably going to be a second round pick in rookie drafts. And I do think if things line up for Terry, the organizational structure and him, his talent, right, and opportunity, I think we will regret passing on Tamarion Terry. Therefore, I'm going to make sure that I acquire him across the board everywhere. And the other players, North Carolina's wide receiver, Dayami Brown, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, competing for targets with Daz Newsome, who's a talented wideout on the other side, and then Carter and Javonte Williams. I'm a big fan of Dayami Brown. Not quite a top 10 wide receiver for me, but I do think he's got the talent. And if he lands in a situation where he gets an opportunity to play early, I think he's going to produce at the NFL.
Yeah, with Dayami Brown, someone who I just scouted just the other day, really impressed, reminded me a lot of like Gabriel Davis, than how he's utilized. I don't think Brown is going to blow away people as far as the 40-yard dash or anything like that, which Davis ran a 4.54. With Brown, though, he wins vertically a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that he can fill that role in the NFL, too. So very similar to how Davis has won at Buffalo, right, already through one season. I think that he can make a similar type of impact. For me, the two guys that I was going to highlight, one was Dwayne Eskridge, who we talked about. I think that if his ADP stays around this that range of the third round, which is where I'm seeing right now, then absolutely, I think that he's going to be someone who makes an immediate impact. Another guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know where you land with St. Brown right now, but I am a big fan of his game. I think that he is a smooth route runner out in the open field. Reminds me a lot of Robert Woods and someone who I think can have that type of impact if he lands in the right offense. So I would not be shocked to see Amon-Ra St. Brown go in the second or, you know, or the early second of the NFL draft. I think that's how highly I think of him. So St. Brown and Dwayne Eskridge were the two guys I wanted to mention there.
Love it. Love it. I'm higher on Brown. I think I have him wide receiver 6 for me overall.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, it's the same range for me. Let's go with one more. Fantasy 1-5, how high are you willing to draft Kyle Pitts in a dynasty startup? So how much let's answer that one, and then we've got a second part. So how high are you willing to draft Kyle Pitts in a dynasty startup? Let's assume that it's just a one tight end format.
Yeah, if it's just one tight end, gosh. Yates, I don't know, man. Like,
I know. So for me, I think the better way I think to look at it is like, where would he slide in dynasty rankings overall, right?
Okay.
Rather than answering like a specific round, I think a better exercise would be where does he slide in right now?
Yeah, for me, he's right there with Mark Andrews and the TJ Hockenson. Like, he's right in that range for me. He's after Waller, Kelsey, and Kittle. And I wouldn't argue if you took him fourth after Waller or Kelsey or whoever you have it ranked. And I may take him over Mark Andrews. I mean, for me personally, he's a top five dynasty tight end. I know that may shock some people, but it's a top five dynasty tight end for me right now. So however you have the fourth guy or the fifth guy, that's where I'd have Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, that's right. Off the top of my head, I was like tight end 6 sounds right. And okay. I think that's right where he's going to be for me. So yeah, wherever that falls in your startup draft, if you see, you know, and again, each league is different. You're going to have some people who value that tight end position highly, and then you're going to have some other leagues that let Travis Kelce or George Kittle or whatever fall to the second or third round. So
yeah,
as far as answering the overall round, very difficult exercise to do, but hopefully that at least provided some context. Ray's looking at him as a top 5 guy. I'm right in that range as well. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Again, a huge thank you to Reality Sports Online for sponsoring the show. If you have not checked out their site already, make sure you do so at Reality Sports Online. We'll be back next week with one episode. I'm going to be taking a little bit more vacation time, but we'll be able to get one episode in for you guys, and then we'll get back on schedule the week after that. Again, huge, huge thank you to everyone who has left a rating and review for the podcast. 152 ratings already, and every single one is a 5-star rating. Appreciate you all. We'll be back next week. For Ray Garvin, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the #1 recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending?
Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.